Dean ran point for the companions as they sped into the collection of gutted buildings. He kept the Browning high power in his fist. Mildred tried to catch up with him from behind.
Slow down, Dean! This isn't a race!
Changing his stride, Dean made for an L-shaped corner of a building foundation sticking up from the weed-covered ground. He hunkered down behind it and studied the broken terrain in front of him. The Baron's riders closed on the Coldhearts, splitting the groups off into miniature battlefields. It was clear that both sides knew each other from the vehemence they exhibited in their efforts to kill one another. The dogs charged in under the jumbled mess of broken rock and attacked from the rear. As the slaggers drew more deeply into the build toward the junkyard of dead wags, they held back the riders' advance with increasing success. Suddenly, a furry gray shape sprang from the other side of the foundation, scrabbling at the irregular surface of the mortar chunk with its black claws. Dean moved without thinking. He grabbed Mildred by the shoulder and shoved her to the side, out of the dog's leap. Lifting the high power, Dean shoved the gun into the cur's maw. Dean didn't bother wiping the dog's blood and spit from his arm.
Good to move fast, huh?
Doc and JB joined them in short order. A pallor had settled over Doc's features from the past exertions, turning his color ashen. The four of them automatically spread out to provide overlapping fields of fire from their position.
Have you seen friend Ryan?
Top of the building, Doc. Him and Jack made it. A lot of people between us and them. They get in your face, any of them. Put them down quick.
That is one of the liberties of being surrounded by one's enemies. You can shoot wherever you may without fear of hitting a kindred soul. However, I must hasten to admit, I am reminded of General George Armstrong Custer's last words at the Little Bighorn.
What were they?
Damn, that's a lot of Indians.
Dean?
Yeah?
Ready to take point again?
Yeah.
Maybe a little slower this time. Now, see the building next to the one Ryan's chosen? We go there first. Set up a line of retreat. Let Ryan know as soon as we can. Things go all the way to shit, we dig ourselves in, tooth and toenail, and wait out the storm and the fight.
Dean nodded, then took off. Christie stood in a hellish land filled with gaping pores that spewed sulfurous fumes and boiling rust-colored water that made her think of old blood. Her clothes and hair stayed plastered to her body. She felt for her gun, but the holster at her side was empty. A vague memory twisted inside her head.
Christie, you've got to get up.
A chill ran through her, despite the steamy heat flooding the land. She struggled, trying to remember whatever it was she had forgotten. Moving slowly through the hissing geysers of steam and water, she waited for the rest of the nightmare to manifest itself. These jumps through the Matrans units were seldom easy. Then she recalled her conversation with Florin, recalled how she had seemed to fall into herself. A nearby geyser exploded, showering her with a deluge of scalding liquid and burning rock fragments that embedded in her flesh. She backed away, brushing at her arms and face with her hands. She felt only smooth, unblemished flesh. She stared at her open hands in front of her, fully expecting to see them covered with blood. They were clean.
What?
Even as the realization hit her, Christie felt the pain and burning sensation leave her body. She suddenly realized where she had to be, because there was no other place she could have gone after Florin had ripped through her mind. She stared around her, taking in the geyser activity. Marshaling her courage, she thrust her hand into a geyser of steaming water that shot up within arm's reach. None of the heater water touched her.
Gaia! Earth Mother, don't let this be true!
Florin had trapped her inside her own mind. Christie closed her eyes and concentrated, listening for Ryan's voice again, hoping it would be her beacon to bring her back to herself. She knew she had to hurry, because she could sense what Florin was prepared to do to him. Ryan flew backward, his ears ringing with the impact as his teeth snapped together, slicing deeply into his cheek. A taste of blood filled his mouth. Nearly 20 feet away, his body aching all over, he pushed himself up, gazing at the redhead who had just backhanded him. On occasion, Christie was able to tap into a strength much greater than anything human, but only during times of intense stress, of life or death, calling on Gaia's name. She was tapped in now. She stood uncertainly, as if getting her land legs after a long time at sea. She gazed at him, as if she didn't know him.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Stay away!
Christy drew a hunting knife from her belt, ignoring the pistol on the rooftop beside her. Ryan saw the wild look in his lover's eyes and knew she wasn't herself. He maintained his distance.
Christy, it's me, Ryan.
Stay.
Thrusting hand holding the knife with his palm and automatically raised the Sig Sauer. He stopped short of bashing Christy in the face through sheer willpower. Christy drew the knife back, her features writhing. She suddenly collapsed to the ground, unconscious. Jack stood behind her, his .357 still raised, where he'd slammed the barrel against the back of her head.
I'll apologize later, if you live.
Ryan nodded, his free hand snaking out a short length of leather pigging strings from his coat. A slipknot held a coiled noose ready. He fit the noose around Christy's wrists and pulled them tight, then scooped the woman from the rooftop and slung her over one shoulder. He staggered for a moment under her weight, still slightly dazed from the backhanded blow his lover had dealt him.
I got the door open. Cover back.
Good. Grab Christy's knife and blaster and let's get the hell out of here.
Ryan jogged toward the open rooftop access door and the staircase within.
John, look out!
A horse was closing in on JB at breakneck speed. JB spun quickly and brought up his Uzi. The horse's rider stayed too low in the saddle to provide a good target, and JB knew from experience that shooting a horse in the chest didn't always stop it. The bullets didn't stop the animal now, or even seem to slow it. It charged at JB, bringing its rider close enough to swing at him with a homemade machete. JB blocked the swing with his Uzi, holding the machine pistol in both hands. The horse raced past, then stopped.
Myers! Dawson! We got some outlanders here! Maybe some of them the Baron shake.
A fountain of blood gushed from the rider's temple. He toppled from the dying horse, the animal starting to fall itself now. JB glanced over at Mildred and saw her in the classic Olympic shootist stance. The armorer dipped his head and touched the brim of his hat. Meanwhile, Doc had ambushed another rider by stepping from the shelter of the broken corner of the nearby building. He lowered the Lama and let go with the shotgun barrel. Moving quickly, JB stepped out and grabbed the loose reins of the fear-maddened horse. JB held onto the reins in one tight fist. He let the horse have its head a moment and ran along beside it. When he had its pace and rhythm, he reached for the saddle horn with his hand holding the reins and shoved a foot into the stirrup. He pulled himself up gracefully. Pulling the horse around, he reached up and snug his hat on more tightly.
John!
Find Ryan! I'm gonna cover you! Go, damn it! We're shit out of places to run to!
Mildred broke into a sprint, heading toward the building where Ryan had been earlier. Doc stayed close behind her, but Dean balanced on a jumble of loose brick and mortar, poised like a young and hungry wolf. JB needed Dean moving now, and he deliberately insulted the lad to get him going.
Dean! Go on, boy!
Furious, Dean vanished inside the rubble. JB kicked his mouth in the sides.
Yeah!
Two armed riders came through a gap between the buildings. JB leaned forward, keeping himself low, and pushed the Uzi between the horse's peak.
Things, we're just gonna trap ourselves!
Yeah, so?
So that leaves only one place we can go and maybe put some distance from here. That junkyard up ahead. Those stacks of wags will give us some cover to get out of the rain and keep moving at the same time. It's big enough and long enough that we can get lost enough to get away from these people!
JB couldn't fault the boy's logic. Dean was growing up, and he'd always been a survivor.
Those cold hearts are nestled up in there like blind rattlers, and they'll know the terrain.
I figured maybe we'd bust up their nest. Now I know you don't go anywhere without Grenz if you can help it.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a couple I've been holding back. Whoa!
JB reached inside his coat and took out the explosives. Leaning forward, he dropped one into Dean's outstretched hand.
Here, get in close as you can, then toss it in. Try not to get your ass shot off.
It's gonna be a hot pipe ride, JB! Yeah!
Ryan Cotter lifted the Sig Sauer and aimed it at the door opening at the bottom of the stairwell.
Ryan! Don't shoot!
Mildred entered, saw Ryan on the steps, and lowered her pistol. Doc appeared behind her.
What happened to Christy?
Long story, but she's alive.
Ryan continued down the steps. The floor was covered with rubble from the pockmarked ceiling overhead, and a half dozen old campfires littered the area.
I told you to stay back.
We couldn't. The rain's coming.
Where's JB and Dean?
John caught a horse. He stayed back to cover our retreat from riders.
What riders?
2 dozen or so were approaching the Ville. We got the impression they were Baron's men. Besides the horses, they appear to be outfitted well, too. And they're organized.
There aren't any Barons around here.
Ryan glanced out the door and saw 3 of the riders Mildred was talking about. The air smelled sour with the coming rain.
Where's Dean?
My dear Ryan, young Dean was behind me but a moment earlier. It was not until we arrived here that I found he had departed my company.
Departed?
No, not departed as in dead, dear friend. Just not with us when
Dean's
we...
Dean's with JB. Going to the junkyard.
Jack was still on the second story, peering carefully through one of the empty windows. He pointed with his chin, one hand holding the .357, while the other held several of his throwing blades. Ryan turned in the direction Jack indicated, catching sight of JB and Dean bursting free of the clutter and racing across the open space. With the coming rain and the threat of the slaggers and mystery riders around them, Ryan understood the pair's strategy. The junkyard offered the companions the only real hope of getting out of the area safe from the elements and the hostiles.
We're heading for the junkyard too.
Ryan shifted Christie's weight across his shoulder and started out the door.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.